To our live stream. I'm here today with art prof teaching artist Jordan McCracken Foster and Deepti Menon. Today we are going to be talking about art mentors and their influence on our development as artists. If you would like to grow as an artist and you can't afford an art class, we've got everything you need here at Art Prof, critiques and tutorials. Deepti, how would you define a mentor and what that means as an artist?
In my experience, a mentor is generally someone who has more professional and creative experience than you do. So often they're older than you. They can be a teacher or just someone in the industry or someone whose work you look up to. And they're generally someone who you have a bit more of a close relationship to than perhaps your other professors, and someone who you can ask advice from to look at your work. And sometimes that bridges past like your creative pursuits and can turn into advice about your professional career, your personal life, et cetera, et cetera.
And Jordan, do you think it's hard to find an art mentor?
Yes and no. I think some of it is honestly random and things just happen. For me, my art mentor, I just met him randomly. But then there are times where you're sitting in class and, you know, there's a connection you have with this teacher, maybe because of the way they look at the world, or maybe just identity basis, and you become drawn to them that way. It's never something I would say to force necessarily, but I think that oftentimes a student will recognize when a teacher could, or someone they look up to can have that role in their life.
I would also add that if you are in school, it really is sometimes up to the student to foster that relationship, because I know for me, I have so many students. And also, it's not appropriate for me to reach out to a student because that's sort of like favoritism. And so I know Tony Janello, who is one of my absolute cherished mentors. I really had to reach out to him and stay in touch with him because he probably would not have made the effort otherwise. So I just want to point out that there's no right way to find or retain a mentor, but some of it does require a little bit of initiative. Now, Tony Janello was a professor at RISD for many, many, many years in the illustration department. And I actually met him my senior year. He was teaching a portrait painting class. I don't know what I have in common with an older Italian man, but apparently a lot. We're so different, but we're so much the same in terms of our sense of humor. We're both really cynical, and he's really intense and very eccentric. He told me that he had all of these odd jobs. He was a grave digger, he worked on a pig farm, he was a professor at RISD. It's like, where does that line up? He was a portrait painter, did commissions for many, many years, and yet he and I really, really hit it off. Now, Jordan, you were in the illustration department at RISD. Had you ever heard about Tony Janello?
I had heard of him, but I've never actually seen his face. I had no idea what he looked like or anything. And I would see the students working on assignments for his class, because he's very famous for his drawing color portrait class. And people would do like these really elaborate drawings with all these fancy colors, and they're like 30 feet tall. At least that's how it felt to me. And so, yeah, that's all I really got from Tony Janello. I never got to take a class with him, unfortunately.
And now I know some of you guys have probably seen, I work a lot in portraiture, and that's a lot of the connection that Tony and I have, that we're just obsessed with the human face. So Deepti, when you look at my work, which we're looking at here, and you're looking at Tony's work, and we'll look at some of his sculptures in a little bit, do you feel like you see a connection with our work, or is it not as visible?
I definitely see a connection. I feel like the textural quality in both of your work, just as a technique, is pretty similar, but also, like you said, the emphasis on portraiture and just the emphasis on like the absurdities of the face, I would absolutely say. And like the mark making, the energy, I think there's like definitely a lot of overlap.
Yeah, and he really pioneered this crayon drawing technique. And I'll tell you, I mean, people don't believe me when I tell them it's a crayon drawing. I mean, Jordan, if you look at the one on the left, what media would you guess that was in?
I would guess oil paint.
He is an oil painter. He does lots of oil paintings, but I think that his crayon drawings are just so intense and rich and full. I fought meme in the chat saying, I saw the Tony Janello video of Art Prof. He has a humble and kind aura, I guess. That's absolutely right. That's exactly what he's like in person. I just always felt very safe and comfortable talking to him. Like, he never had any pretentious airs. Like, Deepti, did you ever have professors at RISD? You sort of felt like they thought they were better than you. I don't know if you had that.
Yeah, definitely RISD. Actually, more so in like high school and stuff. Because like not everyone's an artist. So, like, they're the artist. And I mean, not even like in my school, but like outside. But yeah, I mean, when there's an air, there's an air. You know it.
And so this portrait tutorial for me is sort of my homage to Tony. And that's why I filmed this interview, because I wanted people to know that he pioneered this technique. I didn't want people to think that I did it, because I feel like I don't want to take credit for something that I did not invent. So he's phenomenal, but he's got this other side, which I think is amazing, because he came from this more academic drawing technique. But lately, over the past few years, he's been making these paper mache sculptures. Yeah. They're made out of the most humble materials. He makes them out of these big cardboard tubes, and he basically dips paper towels in Elmer's glue, sticks it on, makes a paper mache sculpture, and then paints them and adds, I think, a little bit of modeling paste. Like, Jordan, when you look at these sculptures in relation to the academic portraits, what's your reaction?
I am stunned. I never would have thought those were the materials he was using. It feels very, it feels like two different artists. But at the same time, there's this creative edge to it that I can't deny. Like, there's something about it that's just really unique and that really stands out. And I am floored. I don't even know what to say about it. Wow.
Well, that's the other thing, is that Tony and I, we really have a dark side, the two of us. Like, we don't tend to have very optimistic conversations. And it's funny, because I sort of feel like he's my dad. Like, we have a lot of like life, family, children relationships that are like very, very intense. But so this is what he does. This is one of his techniques, is he'll make a sculpture like this. He'll paint it. And then what he does is he actually shoots photographs of them. So he does not think about his final product as the sculpture. He thinks about it as a photograph. So this would be the final version of that. And I'll tell you, I was having a really hard time with these clay faces that I had been casting, and I cast them into beeswax and I still hated them. That's the left-hand side you see here. And I talked to him and I totally ripped off his photographing technique, because I basically decided I don't like the sculpture either. I'm gonna just take the photo. So Deepti, what's your take on this?
I think it's super cool. I think it's like really awesome that you're also just like admitting the fact that you ripped him off. Cause like, I mean, that's, and but the fact that you're also like crediting him with that, because like that's what mentors are for, right? Like, if they're mentoring you, they see potential in you and they want you to grow as an artist. And that's what that relationship is for you to seek out help. And then, I don't think you're ripping him off, you know, but you're using techniques that he's shown and taught you, which is amazing.
Blue Wolf Spirit is asking, how do you deal with mentors that are very different from you, like mentors of different race, sex, or nationality? Do you feel like you can never measure up? What do you think, Jordan?
I think it really depends on the way they're mentoring you. If it's just down to skill and, you know, how to create a strong composition, things like that, then that's one thing. But if you're trying to deal with issues that are very specific to race or gender or sexuality or one of those things, you know, I would probably take what they have to say with a grain of salt, simply because the experience is not going to be similar. Even something so much as like a great age difference can make a huge deal. So in that case, maybe, you know, try and seek out someone else who's more connected with you in that way. But also, you know, I think building up a strong team of mentors is always really good too. You know, so if you can't get something from one person, there's always someone else you can go to.
And it can be hard to find somebody who's similar to you. I mean, I've been posting on Instagram lately. Some of you may have seen some of the experiences I had at RISD. And I had so many students who replied to my stories. They said, you know what? I never thought about this, but you were the only woman of color faculty that I ever had at RISD. I mean, was that the case for you, Deepti? I can't remember.
Yeah, you were. And I think that's why you're probably like my, I mean, I have some professors at RISD and in high school and stuff that I still am in touch with and I love very dearly, but I think just the fact that we are both of Asian descent and we're both women, just like, even if I could have talked to certain professors about things, the door just felt a little bit more open with you just because you look the way that you do and you have the experiences that you do. And I felt connected to that. And you know, that's all personal experience and how things, but yeah, you know, academia is very, very, very white. And it can be hard if you are a person of color to feel like you can open up and share enough and like feel like give enough to receive what you want to receive with people who don't look like you or don't have the same experiences or, like Jordan said, even aren't the same age as you. So I do think that if you can find multiple mentors who kind of check off a lot of boxes and have a whole variety of skills themselves, that's the best and that's the coolest.
Well, because you get different things from different people. I mean, Tony and I, we definitely talk about art, but half the time we're talking about crazy things our kids did. Mm-hmm. And so he and I really relate on a personal, social level. My other mentor, Andrew Raftery, who we're going to talk about later, he is Mr. Academia. He's who I go to when I have trouble with work stuff. Tony could care less. He does not care about that stuff. It's just not on the radar for him. So I think that's a great point, the team of mentors. Mm-hmm. All right. So Jordan, let's talk about your mentor, Michael Buffington Jr. Can you tell us how you met him?
Yeah, so it was completely random. I was 12 years old and I was hanging out with my godfather that day. We were just, you know, I don't know if we went to go to a museum or something. We just did something that day. And we got back to his house and Michael happened to be sitting there on the porch. And we were in LA at the time and Michael lived in San Francisco. And so just the fact that he was even in the city was very strange. And I remember my godfather, his name is Damon, he said, Jordan, do you know who this is? And I was like, some random dude standing on your porch? Like, I don't know, I'm 12. Like, And so we went back over to where Michael was staying, I think with a friend of his or something. And he showed me his drawings and he drew a character that I'd been working on at the time. And it was just mind blowing. I'd never actually been that close to a professional artist in the industry. And like everyone else had just been a teacher from school or something like that. And it was mind blowing. And the fact that he was also Black made a huge impact on me because that's not something I see very often. So, you know, I kind of had the best of both worlds in a way when I first met him.
And Jordan, I think he taught at your graduate school, right?
Yeah, so Michael actually convinced me to go to my grad school over the phone. I lived in Maryland and he's a very compelling person, to say the least. And he literally dragged me across the country over the phone to go to grad school and to study under him. For more than one reason. It wasn't just because he felt like doing that day. It was there were some very serious reasons as to why. But yeah, so he was the concept art lead in my graduate school. And so, you know, all the classes that I took pretty much were classes that he wrote like himself.
I mean, Deepti, doesn't that seem like a crazy coincidence that Jordan and Michael ended up connecting in grad school later?
Yeah, like also meeting your mentor when you're 12, how cool is that? Like, I would have loved to have someone at 12 years old help, you know, guide me. But that's, yeah, it's so cool that now, like, so many years later, he ended up being your teacher and, like, you guys are still in contact. That's so fun.
Karen A is saying in the chat, I relate to Clara. We both have laundry issues. See, however, you can make a connection. That's very important. And 10,000 Crow says, I relate to Clara because we both have dentist issues. See, you guys, I'm glad I can be there for you in terms of laundry and dentists. So, Jordan, I think it's really interesting because Michael does work in pretty similar materials. He does a lot of digital painting. He's really into figure drawing. Do you think that that was helpful, that he really is working in the same field and industry for you?
Definitely, because for me, it makes the stuff, the advice that he gives, much more useful. There are times where people work in completely different fields than me, and I'll listen to what they say, but it doesn't have as much impact, generally speaking, even if they say the same thing. I don't know why. It's not that I'm trying to, you know, put people to the side or anything like that, but to see someone doing what I actually want to do and be really good at it and be able to explain it to me and is willing to give me all that knowledge, it just makes it much better. And so, you know, when I was 13 or 14, he told me about figure drawing, and he said you should find a place to do it. And come to find out, my high school later offered figure drawing, so I took his advice and went and took figure drawing classes and continued to do it at RISD and in grad school and everything, and I still do it. So like, that's just one little sample of things that really inspire me and influence me as a kid and how I've carried that over into my adult life and my career.
Deepti, where do you see the crossover with Michael and Jordan's work, or how do you see them as different also?
I see tons of similarities. I think just the fact that you both are character designers, that in and of itself. But I see a lot of similarities in, like, even the color palettes that you guys use. And like, I think he was drawn, there was a slide that had like, yeah, like, you know, people of color, and like, you know, the spectrum of the characters you draw are much wider than just what we often see, which I think is great and is like hard sometimes to find someone who can give you advice on that. So that's really cool. But like the fluidity of your body and the poses and the shapes that you use, there's tons of similarities. It's pretty clear.
No, it's wonderful when things are so direct. I mean, you probably could ask Michael, hey, which brush in Procreate can I use to make this? Like, that's so specific. Yeah. Whereas other mentors, you may not be able to say that so much. Mm-hmm. So that is really, really different. And now, Jordan, you had a similar thing where Michael really invented this 2500 drawing challenge that we're doing in the Discord. Can you tell everybody about that?
Yeah, so I think the first or second time I met him, I was maybe 13 or 14, and he was looking, it was the first time I actually showed him any of my work, and he told me, he said, you know, Jordan, you have a lot of potential that you could really go far, and he said, I want you to do this, and he told me about the 2500 challenge, which was 1,000 heads, 500 arms, 500 legs, 250 hands, 250 feet, and, you know, doing that in high school, and then again in grad school, I've learned a lot about that process and why it's so important and why it's so helpful. And so I've taken it upon myself to introduce it to you all, the Art Prof family, because I've seen people do this dozens of times. I know over 30 people, students mostly, who have finished it and have grown exponentially. And their first drawing versus their 2,500th drawing is like night and day. And so I figure, you know, if people who are students are willing to, you know, take this on and really advance their art career, then I think everyone in Art Prof who, you know, wants to find a way to expedite their growth process should really take this on. And so we built a whole channel for it on Discord where we all encourage each other and post our drawings and do all that cool stuff. And it's a lot of fun.
Blue Will Spirit is asking in the chat, can you speak to the difference between a teacher and a mentor? They are not the same. Deepti, how about you tackle that?
Yeah, I think a teacher and a mentor, there are a lot of similarities. A lot of times a teacher can become a mentor, but I think the teacher-student relationship is like a mentorship of some sort. But I think when you find someone who's a mentor, I think it goes past like, hey, can you teach me X, Y, and Z? But it becomes a little bit more of like a personal relationship where you're actively seeking out guidance, you're actively presenting issues. And a lot of times they aren't someone who is older than you, or like any of the things I said in the opening, you know, they could be someone who's younger than you, but someone that you look up to and can ask for advice of things that aren't like classroom setting things. Like time management, or, you know, I am moving and I don't know how to like find a new job in this new city. Someone who just has more advice about things, that like a teacher who has a set curriculum and is teaching you a certain media or a certain concept might not have. I hope that was clear.
Well, I also want to talk a little bit about that transition from having your mentor as a teacher and then keeping that relationship beyond that. Because for me and Tony and Andrew, who I'm going to talk about later, we became colleagues because all of a sudden I was teaching at RISD and we were teaching. I mean, Andrew's a tenured professor, so that's a little bit different than me, but it's a little weird at first. Like, Jordan, I think you and Michael have kept in touch, right? Even though you graduated. I mean, are you sort of going through that right now?
So because I've known him for so long, when I became his student, that was actually more weird. it had the personal conversations or whatever, where we get to talk about family and stuff, that's all normal to us. But when I'm actually in the classroom and I see like him actually like grading me and stuff like that, that's where it felt weird. And it was always funny because people would assume that there would be like favoritism, but I'd be one of the people he would like dig in most on. Like, he'd be like, nope, this is wrong, this is wrong. And I think for me, that I find that more valuable when I can really just take all that teaching in and all things that he's willing to share with me in, and find a way to really share with other people. But I never had a difficult transition period with them, really.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's difficult as much as it is just awkward. It's just strange. Yeah. Like, you walk into the faculty lounge, you're like, oh, they're there eating lunch. Like, it's just a little strange at first. And actually, Beefy, you and I went through that transition.
Because, oh my God, look at me there.
Beefy, wow. You look so young.
I look very young. That's so long ago. Oh my God. you were my teacher freshman year, second semester. And then we are now colleagues on ArtDrop. How bizarre is that? But that transition actually felt pretty smooth to me. I think because, well, it's funny, like, I was petrified of you when you were my teacher. And I would not say we had any relationship outside of the 8 hours I was in your studio. But I remember the shift that happened to me was like during our final critique, because that was like the first time that I spent one-on-one time with you outside of the class, and we were discussing my work and we were able to like have a bit of a conversation that wasn't just, you know, feedback on the work, cool, thank you, you know, back and forth. And then I went through my entire RISD career just kind of like, I don't think we ever had coffee or...
No, we didn't.
Anything, but we were, I remember I followed you on social media and I was aware of what you were doing, and I think you were aware of what I was doing, and we had, you know, high buys in the hallway. But, you know, when you approached me to join the art prof staff, that was actually pretty shocking to me because I was like, oh, I didn't even know that I was on Claire's radar. But it was like a huge honor. I was like, oh my God, thank you very much. I will do this. But that's when the ball kind of shifted. And I had also just graduated, so I felt like a little bit less like a little student. And I was like, I'm a professional artist now. Not that that actually means anything, but, you know, in your head it does. And I think that was when we started having conversations outside of just being like, you are my teacher and I'm your student. And at that point, I had also evolved so much as an artist, but we started noticing similarities. Like, a lot of my work is really gruesome, or not gruesome, but like ugly. A lot of people say my work looks ugly and grotesque. And I think you get those comments about some of your work too. And we both enjoy, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, but we both enjoy that feedback. I really love it when people say that my work is grotesque. And so even though we don't work in the same medium, I think we had a lot of similarities there. And I was going through a really big transition period in my life. I just graduated, I was moving to New York, all of this stuff. And you were kind of someone that I was able to ask a ton of questions, you know, about like the move, about finding jobs, and you were always there to like lend an ear and give me feedback. And I think that's really when you became a mentor. And it was fun being a colleague too, because then you got to work like in a professional environment on ArtProf. And I have like my thesis professors at RISD who worked on my thesis film with me in a really, really close way. I would say they're mentors to me too, but more, I would reach out to them more about things that have to do with animation or like the technique. Like Jordan was saying, it's great to have multiple mentors, and I would say they're like animation specific, but for you, because I feel like you know way more about my personal life, and I've been to your house and played with kids and guinea pigs and stuff. If there was anything more personal about, you know, struggles I'm having, I think you would be the person, or just like career-wise, there's like a comfort level that's just grown out of working together and building Art Prof from the ground up. Yeah, so it's great. And the fact that you're also like, you know, like I said earlier, you know, a woman of color, it's really nice to be able to just like bring up struggles and know that you can relate to some extent.
Slutnir is asking in the chat, what about a mentor of a different media? Well, so Deep D and I are an example of that, because Deep D, you're in animation. I don't know anything about animation. Like, I don't even know what like frames per second means. So I'm like clueless about that. I know, you're probably horrified. But I think the thing is, for me, it is important to mentor people who are of color, because I know that when I was a student at RISD, I didn't have any mentors who were women of color. They just weren't there. So it was not even really an option for me. And so it is an initiative that I do think about. Obviously, I can't mentor everybody that's out there, but that is important to me to help people, because I can say, look, you might need to deal with this. I mean, Deepi, I'm sure I've given you cautionary tales in the past about crap you have to deal with when you're not a white man. It's just, it's a different world when you're of color, you know?
Yeah, and just hearing you, like not even specifically to me, but just hearing you talk about your experiences, it makes me feel like I'm able to talk to you about my experiences. Because again, there's that bridge.
Alice DB is asking, Clara, how about a student who wants you to be their mentor, but you think that it is not a good match? What do you do? Well, Jordan, what would you do in that situation?
You know, my personal policy is that I try to help out as much as I can. And oftentimes when it doesn't work, the other person will kind of weed themselves out because they'll realize it's not a good match. Because, you know, as someone who wants to guide and lead or help out, I feel like it'd be kind of messed up to be like, yeah, you're not worthy, I can't help you. You know, like that just seems like a really messed up thing to do. And so if I want to train them however I can and help them say, hey, you need to work on this, you need to work on this, and maybe my method of teaching isn't working for them, then they could always step aside and it's just, you know, you just couldn't connect. And that's totally okay, because not every person is going to connect with everybody. You know, we're all very different people, and, you know, it's just, that's just how life is. And so if you're in a situation where you're seeking out a mentor, maybe they aren't right for you, maybe just have a conversation and say, you know, this isn't what I was expecting, this isn't the or maybe the way you're teaching me isn't really helping me out that much, can we shift methods somehow, or try to find a way to make it work for you, because ultimately the student is the one who's gonna benefit or fail based off of the advice you give them in a lot of ways, because they're going to be listening very intently to what you say. And even just something that may come up as a joke, if it comes off discouraging to them or makes them feel belittled or something like that, that could really affect them in the long run. So you definitely want to make sure you have that match.
I mean, I think it comes down, Alice, to setting boundaries, because I have found over the past few years, I really have to be careful about it. And so my ploy is to just act really busy all the time. And so I think then people sort of know, like, oh yeah, she's just not that available, which is fine. But I will send signals. Like Deep D, I didn't ask you to join Art Prof by accident. Like I did that because I know when I bring people onto Art Prof that that's a long-term relationship, and that I'm gonna invest in you the way you'll invest into Art Prof. And so I think that you just have to be careful about not giving people mixed messages, because I have had students ask me to do things for them, and I just say, I'm really sorry, I want to help you, I just don't have time. But there are other people, I will bend over backwards for Jordan and Deep D. I mean, you guys ask me to do anything, I'll be there for you. So it's like, those are things I would not offer to the rest of the world. It's just, you know, my babies. So
I would bend over backwards for you too, Clara.
You guys, I don't want to cry.
I'm not expecting this to stay up where you are. Just that we're gonna start crying.
Moving on, let's talk about my second mentor, Andrew Raftery, who is a tenured professor at RISD. He's been there forever and ever and ever. And he and I met sophomore year. I was in the painting department at RISD, and he was teaching a drawing class, and he had just been hired. So he was really young. He was like 35. I was like 18. And I actually ended up switching departments. And so I switched into illustration, and I always think to this day, I was like, wow, if I hadn't had that one class with Andrew, I never would have had him because he doesn't teach in illustration. So I really feel like this was, as Jordan, you and Michael, it was like fate, like meant to meet. And I mean, oh my God, it'd take me so long to explain what Andrew does. But in a nutshell, he's a printmaker and he does engraving, which is with this strange tool called a burin. Like, DP, have you ever done engraving before?
No. No, I've never touched a burin before. I don't know.
Yeah, but do you see what a weird tool it is? Like, how do you even hold that thing? Anyway, people who look at Andrew's work, they think it's a pen drawing. I'm like, no, he sits over a plate of copper and carves those lines out of the metal, which is insane. And I actually have one of his prints sitting in my living room, and my kids had the same thought. Like, my daughter actually said to me a few years ago, I always thought that was a pen drawing. I'm like, no, it was made with a burin. And I showed her the tools and everything, and it was really a revelation for her to realize how that print was actually made. And so Andrew and I kept in touch, and he really is what I like to call my academia hotline. Like, anytime I had a crisis, and I was like, this faculty bullied me and said this horrible thing, and I would call him, and he'd be like, yep, they're an asshole, don't listen to them. And I was like, okay, fine, now I feel a little bit better. And so he's really the person I go to ask for, like, academia advice. Like, Tony is not into academia at all, but Andrew is like an internationally known expert in his field. He's such respect and high regard in academia. So he's a great person for me to talk to. So actually, this is a project that I actually did casting work for him. So these figures that you're looking at, I made silicone rubber molds and I cast them in resin. And then I like totally ripped him off because I made these resin sculptures. He actually told me to do it because I was like, okay, I'll give it a shot. So Jordan, there's a little bit of a similarity here. What did you say?
There's a couple things. You know? Yeah, I think, but the fact that you admit it and that you acknowledge it, that, you know, that's obviously one of the best parts that you say that. Yeah, there's some similarities there. And I think that the influence, you know, the lighting and obviously the sculpture and everything like that, that those are pretty evident. I don't really know if, like, how much deeper I need to get into it.
Lisa H. is asking in the chat, mentoring can also be perceived as cliquish. I've observed leaders surrounded by their mentees. Well, let's talk about that, because that actually can be quite toxic, I think, because DP, I think, you know, we both were at RISD and everything. I mean, I definitely saw teachers. It was practically a cult. I mean, did you see that anywhere on campus, DP?
It's interesting. I did not really see that. I can't really think. I definitely saw teachers who had, like, a lot of fans, I guess I would say, but I was lucky. I didn't really feel that, but, like, that's funny because it made me think of, has anyone seen the Harry Potter movie where, like, Professor Slughorn, like, collects his students? Jordan, anyone? No?
I haven't seen that. What I'm talking
about. But it made me think of that, where it's like, it feels almost like there's not any mentorship actually happening there. It's more like egos are being fluffed. So I think it's pretty clear in my head, like, when there's a mentorship actually happening and when it's like a click, because that just feels like a club, or, you know, but what are you actually getting out of that other than just like, oh, I know someone? Are you really, like, advancing yourself and you know, having these meaningful conversations, or are you just like part of a little clique?
Well, I'd also think there's a difference between being influenced by your mentor and just following them around like a little puppy on campus, which I have definitely seen. And I do think that some professors relish that and they sort of encourage that behavior. And I don't like it because I don't want to turn my students into miniature versions of myself. Like, that's not a good thing for them if I'm not fostering what they truly want to do. So there definitely is a little bit of that going on campus. So yeah, for sure. So again, I feel like I'm giving you guys such a shotgun version of Andrew, but this is a new series that he recently did. So these are ceramic dishes that he designed. So the shape that you see, he actually made those into prototypes and then had them made into ceramic plates. And then the image that you guys see in the middle, that's an engraving, which has actually been transferred onto the ceramic dish. And it's called Autobiography of a Garden. And so there are 12 dishes, and each dish represents a different month of the year. And I just am blown away by this. I'm like, I don't know if you guys ever feel this way about your mentors, but I'm like, oh my God, I will never be this good. Like, to me, he's like a modern day Durer. I mean, I don't know, Jordan, what's your take on these pieces? You're not a printmaker, but I'm just curious what you think.
I mean, I think they look really solid. I really like the images out. yeah, I don't really have any like serious like critiques or anything like that. I think it looks cool. I think it's fun. And
no, you don't really critique his work.
Yeah, I was like, what do you want me to do?
Anyway, he's been very important to me, and we stayed in touch throughout all of graduate school. And I really did have to bother him because he's, again, a really busy person and constantly in demand. But he and I have the exact same sense of humor. Like, we're both really, really cynical. And we like to, well, I don't know if I should say this, but we like to talk stuff. Like, you know, we just, you know, the same people. And, you know, when you know the same people, you end up talking. So anyway, that's been a really good experience in general. Lisa H says, from the inside, it feels like mentoring. From the outside, it can look like a clique. Yeah, and sometimes I know that students can get jealous, or they feel that, oh, this student is being favored. Deep, do you ever see anything like that?
Yeah, kind of. I mean, it's funny because, like, you, Clara, had quite the reputation at RISD of being like this terrifying person, but like who everyone really admired. So I know that like me having this personal relationship with you now, right now, and like you maybe turning away other people could be seen as like this clicky thing. But I think it's just like how this relationship was fostered. I do know through that last final critique that you were very impressed by my work ethic and my work, and like, I know it's a two-way street. I know it's not just that you're like, oh, well, you know, she's an Indian woman and I don't have that yet in my pocket, so I'm going to reel her in. Like, I know that there's a legitimate reason why Jordan and I are, you know, in this art prof family with you and stuff. So I've definitely seen, you know, that clickiness at school, but I think it's perspective.
Jay Cabby is saying, what would you guys suggest for finding art mentorship when you don't live in a place that has much of a local art community? Jordan, what would you say to do?
I mean, the internet is sometimes a very great place because there's plenty of people out there who can help you or mentor you. There's people who post ads online. There's people like us on Art Prof who share all the information we can with you guys. There's our Discord. And, you know, and maybe there's like a Facebook group and you just get along with someone, you guys connect. Like, there's a lot of different situations that come up. And the thing it makes it tricky to answer that question because every situation is different. Like I said before, for me, I happened to meet my mentor when I was 12. That doesn't happen every single day. I don't know anyone else who has a story quite like that. And so, and there's nothing that I could have done to even control that situation, and it happened to me. So when you're actively seeking someone out, you know, maybe, you know, take some of the advice that maybe we shared, maybe some things that we haven't, or someone in the chat maybe talked about, find someone who you feel like has a connection with what it is that you want to do, or maybe there's something about their perspective or their feedback that you really appreciate, and just try and start a friendship. It's very different when it's like, an 18-year-old student versus a 40-year-old professor, you know, over, you know, two people who are just online. So there's no real right or wrong way to do it. But I think when you put yourself out there and allow yourself to be put in that situation where you can find someone and be seen, then that's going to make your chances even higher. But worst case scenario, there's plenty of YouTube videos to help you out.
Well, by the way, guys, hang out with us in the Discord, because yes, this is not the same thing as what I had when I was an art school student. And by the way, I thought Meme said earlier in the chat, art prof is my mentor, right? And so, you know, we're not going to hang out with you guys in real life. Obviously, we're in all different places. But I would hope that we can be there for you guys as much as we can. I mean, I wish we could be there for you guys 24/7. I mean, if it were up to me, Jordan and Deepti would be full-time and paid and have health insurance and dual. I mean, we're so far away
never
from that
say
right now.
Never.
I'm like, yeah, exactly. Still, you know, keeping my dreams up there. But we do the best we can, I think, given the amount of time that we have to devote to Art Prof. So join us in the Discord. We are going to be over there in about 5 minutes. So you guys should meet us in the post live stream channel. We'll chat for a little bit. And I'm actually going to be testing the Patreon voice channel. So anybody who has that as part of your Patreon reward, you can hang out with me at 1:15. That's in about a half an hour or so. And I'll be there on like a video thing and you guys can talk to me there. So that's another option. And make sure that you subscribe to our channel and join the Art Prof family. And thank you so much to our top Patreon supporters who help us keep everything up and running. We greatly appreciate your support. As you probably all know, we do not pay, we do not charge for any of our content. And so everything is based on donations in terms of our budget. Everybody, thank you so much for tuning in. We'll see you next time. Bye.